Hello and welcome to this episode of Angel's Top 10 Marketing Trends podcast. I'm really pleased to be joined today by the Data Development Marketing Manager for Committed Giving at the RSPCA, Phoebe Cooper.
Hi Jack, thanks for having me.
No, no problem at all. In today's episode, we are going to be exploring how you can unlock trapped gift aid income and apply behavioural economics to launching successful telemarketing activity. So before we get stuck into that, Phoebe, it'd be great if you could just share with the audience a brief overview in terms of the situation you had. I think it was back in 2020, where you had around £1 million of unclaimed gift aid income, and you were using certain channels to try and unlock that, but it wasn't necessarily thawing out all of that frozen gift aid that you had there. So that'd be great to just explore that as a starting point.
So in May of 2021, we interrogated our data and discovered that less than 60% of our active supporters who were giving in gift aid eligible ways had actually opted into gift aid. And we had been doing direct mail and email campaigns to try and reach out to those supporters and get them to opt into gift aid and help raise their awareness around what gift aid was and the benefits that it holds for charities. However, of all that kind of past activity, both digitally and via direct mail, our conversion rates were really low, basically around 1% for each of those channels. So ultimately, those campaigns were really making little impact and weren't helping to increase our gift aid penetration rates. So we were keen to explore new ideas and try and find new avenues to contact those supporters.
Interesting. And obviously, with gift aid, you can increase the value of every single pound donated. You get that extra 25% uplift. So I suppose the kind of the value that you can generate from gift aid, on the face of it, is quite significant.
Yeah, exactly. Gift aid takes takes your pound and adds an extra 25p on top. So for every pound you donate, HMRC tops it up on your behalf if you're eligible for gift aid, with 25% more. So from RSPCA's perspective, that could mean that your £100 donation, with that we could bay the recovering seal, but we could also feed it. It turns 4 bales of hay to feed the horses in our care into 5. So it's actually quite a big impact for animals and a nice way for supporters to increase their support without increasing the amount of money coming out of their purse.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always good, I think, like you say, to follow the donations and the income through in terms of the impact that it can actually have for the cause that you represent, in your case, animals and animal welfare generally. I guess going back a step then, in terms of that you've got this income opportunity that's available to you, and you can almost analyze what the impact of that has from an income perspective, and then in terms of those outcomes. If I'm putting myself in your shoes at that point, it's what's the best vehicle to unlock that gift aid income? And I suppose in fundraising, a lot of discussion is around psychological theories and motivations and what makes people respond to certain things. So I guess it'd be good to explore your kind of approach from a behavioral economics perspective in terms of how that then led to the campaign that we ran together.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Rory Sutherland actually references a case study at the beginning of his book, Alchemy, in which a humanities charity performed a test on some door drop that they did. And there were 4 different variants. And of those, one of them highlighted the opportunity to give 25% more through gift aid. And I won't go into all the details. You can look it up and read about it. But they the gift aid variation actually performed significantly worse than the other 3 variants. So the control, the other 3 variants, which were all around how the paper felt or how the door drop was delivered, those performed 10% better. but their gift aid variant actually performed 30% worse. And I think it's actually a really interesting case study because it highlights how small, like subtle things really impact people's behavior. And, you know, it connects to behavioral economics. So, I mean, it is behavioral economics, isn't it? So it's, I guess if we, I'll step back one. If you think of it kind of like through that lens of behavioral economics, you can kind of deduce that it's related to system one versus system two thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so system one versus system two is a theory that Daniel Kahneman, who he won the Nobel Prize in 2002 for his work in behavioral economics, he says that basically decision making is taken on by two different systems in our brain. Mm-hmm. So system one, it operates automatically and quickly. So there's little or no effort and kind of no sense of voluntary control with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast, it's automatic, it's effortless, and it's really using intuition and gut feeling. Whereas system two is very rational and it's slow. It likes to... It's the one where you're going to pause and think. It's going to, you know, allocate attention to the effortful mental activities that really demand it. And it's often associated with kind of that subjective experience of agency. So
mm-hmm.
it requires you to make a choice and to concentrate. So I think, you know, that case study by Rory Sutherland and laying over system one and system two, you can really see gift aid. It's not an emotional decision. It's not something that you can just be like, oh yes, like be led to that from your gut feeling. It is a mm-hmm. system two activity. You do slow down. You get presented with a declaration and a tick box that you have to read and agree to. And it says in that declaration, basically, that if I pay more income tax or capital gains tax than the total amount of money that I've gift aided, that I'm responsible for the difference. Woo! You know, like that's kind of intimidating. So it does, it makes you pause and you think, oh, I don't know, am I eligible? And it's, you might want to talk to someone about it. You might want to go away and think about it. So you might not comfortably just tick that box on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really made us think, well, why don't we call them? So that's when we got in touch with Angel to see what the possibilities were, the call, and how can we really bring gift aid to life for supporters over the phone and be there to help answer any questions they might have and really treat it as the system two activity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in our experience, you know, a lot of the conversations that you have in the fundraising capacity probably tap into the other aspect of the, you know, the brain and mind, in terms of we always use a rule of 80% of the decisions that people will make when they're asked for a donation. So not gift aid, but ask for a donation will be a motive. You know, it won't be logic based. It will be done on impulse. It will be done on a feeling. It will be done on someone's belief system. All of those, you know, kind of facets that sit within that. And only 20% of it. This is a rough guide, but it's done on some psychological theory around sales motivations. Only 20% of it would be logic based in that regard. So usually a lot of the conversations that you have where you're trying to, you know, for example, convince someone to actually begin their donation journey with the RSPCA would be emotionally driven. But I think with gift aid, as you say, it's a different proposition altogether. They've already made that decision. If they're an existing supporter or an app supporter, for instance, they've already made that decision that from an emotional and belief system perspective, they're aligned with you, they want to support. The actual ticking of the gift aid box is either they've not done it, they haven't understood why they should do it, or they don't feel, like you said, they have almost the information, or they're a bit worried about doing it. So it's a very rational, very logic-based decision. And as you say, I think certainly what we found was that having that conversation and being able to allay some of those concerns, answer the questions, and also explain why it's such a great thing actually for the charity to be able to benefit from, that we had a lot of success with that through, you know, spoken word. It would be interesting to get your perspective on what that success looked like and how it compared to other channels.
So it was actually really wonderful, because it felt like such a collaborative piece with Angel. We were really able to work with you to make sure we were setting up the script and the whole campaign in a way that would have the most impact and focused on that logic-based. It was around awareness, like raising awareness, helping with understanding, and really providing that support to our donors. Mm-hmm. You know, we worked with you and the ICO so that we could set it up as a service communication. And that meant we could reach the maximum number of supporters. And we treated it as an operational call. This was administrative. You know, according to GDPR, we are expected to keep our records up to date. So by building that script in that way, you know, we didn't ask for donations. And that was this collaborative decision that we made together. So that was really helpful, because we were able to establish we're not going to ask for donations. We are going to keep this as an administrative call designed to update that record and make sure that we have the best, most accurate information about our supporters. And, you know, with that guidance, I think we were able to craft a really clever script, actually, because we acknowledged with our supporters, like, if you were someone who'd opted out of telephone consent and we were calling you, we were able to acknowledge, we're not asking you for any money today. This is purely to make sure our records are up to date. We've noticed that you haven't told us either way for gift aid, and we're purely updating your records. And it made it this really lovely call. And from the feedback that you could hear in the call recordings, and that your Angel's agents were referencing, people actually really appreciated the call. Mm-hmm. And they really liked it. They liked being, it gave us an opportunity to say thank you to them for their support and update our records. So even supporters who said no to gift aid, we then got that information. So now we know, you know, these supporters are non-UK taxpayers. So we can communicate with them appropriately, and we can have a better understanding of our gift aid penetration rates, as opposed to just having this kind of, I don't know, abyss of data where we're not sure if a supporter is eligible or not. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of the campaign, for the supporters who said no, 90% of them said no because they were non-UK taxpayers. But 10% were UK taxpayers, but they still said no. So we were able to see why, you know, and is it, some of them had said because they've already reached their gift aid threshold. So they're obviously mega donors who support lots of charities. Or, you know, some said that they, you know, they just weren't comfortable with it. And that's fine too. So it gave us that extra information so we could better understand our supporters and where they were with gift aid. And I think the other nice thing with using the phone approach was Angel organized a special training session so that all of the call handlers had the answers for specific gift aid questions. You know, what are the most frequently asked questions around gift aid? And And that meant that all the agents on the phone were really empowered and they knew what these standard questions might be coming from supporters and how to answer them and where to direct them for the best information. So I think, you know, the fact that it felt like this really collaborative campaign where we were working together so that it would be the best experience for RSPCA supporters, and as well as for for Angel's, you know, wonderful people on the phone. So I'm very convinced. Obviously, I can't specifically attach the data to the results, but I'm very convinced that that collaborative effort did influence the success of the campaign.
Definitely, because I think our team felt as though they were representing you as an extension of your team, because they had, an enhanced understanding of not just the importance of gift aid to you, but they could answer those questions that were sort of queries or clouds in those supporters' minds to kind of reassure them that, you know, gift aid is a good thing. If they are, you know, paying tax, it's highly likely that they will, you know, be eligible, but explaining how the thresholds work. All of the kind of... I guess if you're someone that hasn't opted into gift aid from the get-go, but you are eligible, there must be some sort of, you know, barrier to doing that. And we were able to, like you said, you know, very articulately, we were able to identify what those barriers were, you know, what information that individual needed to either come to the decision that they still weren't comfortable with gift aid, but capture that and then use that going forward, or overcome those concerns and then put them in the gift aid yes category. But either way, we were able to give clarity to the sports. But I think the only reason was that we were able to do that was because of that, you know, the training, the work we did pre-campaign to design the scripts really, really intuitively to take into account what we already knew about the donors. As you said, working with the ICO to make sure that we did it in a compliant way, but also a really open and transparent way so that we were really clear about the nature of the call, you know, what we hoped to get from the call there and then, and accepted the fact that if they didn't want to have that conversation, that's also absolutely fine. So it meant that we mitigated the risk to the brand and the charity, but we also managed to unlock the maximum volume available and have really good conversations. And I think, like you say, the team definitely felt, you know, super comfortable and confident on the calls because they had all that information, they had the training, and the call guides were just so logical and well thought out from start to finish that they had that kind of support going through the call to get hopefully the outcome that we wanted. So I think from a partnership perspective, it was, you know, really, really strong.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it does account, I realise I haven't actually referenced how much it brought in. But I think that's exactly it. And it does account, you know, we, the campaign did result in an in-year income from gift aid alone, the gift aid income alone, of approximately £230,000 for that first year. And And when you think about gift aid, it's compounding because your gift aid declaration continues. So every time you give in the future, there's additional gift aid that's connected to that. So it doesn't stop there. It keeps going, which is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing with gift aid. Like you say, you get that instant ability to back claim. You know, when you get that gift aid declaration from someone that might have been giving for, you know, 2, 4, 5 years, you can go back up to those 4 years, you know, with their donation history, and then you have that self, it's a good self-perpetuating, you know, benefit, I guess, of the fact that every time they donate, it's worth 25% more going forward. So you get that instant hit of income, you know, going back, but also you know that by improving your gift aid opt-in rate across your file, literally every donation is likely to be worth more to you. It's a great kind of dual benefit that you get from the campaign, isn't it?
No, exactly. And you reminded me, the other wonderful thing about being on the phone was because the gift aid declaration, it automatically, via post or digitally, it automatically goes back 4 years because that's the maximum you can claim back. But on the phone, we could, if that was a, you know, if someone said, oh, well, I've only been a UK taxpayer for the past 2 years, so I wouldn't be happy with you claiming for the past four. On the phone, you could say, oh, well, it's no problem, because you could set the gift aid start date. And having that built in, it's that extra reassurance. So, all that 4 years of income, very nice.
Yeah, very nice. So, of course, you know, 230,000 in income is a, you know, substantial amount for the charity. And I guess that was, you know, 2021, 2022. And we're now, I can't believe it, it's March 2025. So, you know, in that time, of course, it was, you know, the obvious thing to do was to press the repeat button as many times as possible to try and, you know, of course, the first time you always get to get that kind of initial, you know, low-hanging fruit. It's usually, you know, the best one is often the first one, but it was, you know, the right thing to do was to try and repeat that as much as possible, but also evolve the campaign to hopefully new heights and, you know, maximize other income opportunities. So it'd be great if you could share, I guess, a read on, you know, having repeated it that, you know, that many times since, where we now are with our kind of overall, you know, total, and hopefully that's still ticking over. And also how we've evolved the campaign with things like legacy. Okay.
It's really exciting, actually, seeing the income the income grow. So as you rightly said, that campaign was 2021. We've March 2025. Where has the time gone? And so our gift aid campaign for this year has literally just wrapped up. So I don't have the figures included for that yet, but through the end of the gift aid campaign in 2024, we had achieved an additional income. Compounding effect of all the campaigns is an additional approximately £450,000, which is just incredible, really. And when you think about the impact that can have for animals, It makes me feel really good because, essentially it costs us around £1 million to run a wildlife centre for a year. So £450,000, no, that's not all in 1 year, but that amount of money can help run a wildlife centre for almost half a year. Wow. The number of animals supported in there is just astonishing. So it does, I think, speak volumes for the impact that gift aid has made. And actually, when you look at our gift aid opt-in rates, you know, earlier I mentioned that in May of 2021, when we were looking at our opt-in rates for eligible supporters, it was approximately 60%. It was just under 60%. So it's been really exciting seeing that grow because, you know, 2% increase year on year, we're almost at 70%, so we're getting ever so close to our goal of 80% of eligible active supporters being opted into gift aid. So that's tremendous. And then, you know, £450,000 is wonderful, but it doesn't stop there, because not only are we communicating with supporters in this lovely way and having this nice touch point with them, but we've also been testing and learning as we've gone. So we have this wonderful relationship with our legacy team, and we decided, why not introduce a legacy ask to our true consented, so those who had opted in to speak to us on the phone, supporters in the gift aid calling. So if someone said, the first year we tried it, 2022, we asked people who said no to gift aid. So they said no to gift aid. We asked them if they would like to see receive a gift in will guide in the post to help guide their understanding of leaving a gift in their will and help the charity by building those gift in will inquiries and getting gift in wills pledges. Yeah, into our legacy program. And so the first year was such a success, and it was received so positively that in 2023, we expanded that. So if you said yes to gift aid, then we also asked you if you would like to receive a free will guide in the post. So it was just gradually expanding who we're asking to get that additional legacy ask in there and support our legacy team with reaching these supporters. So the 2024 campaign, which went to our supporters who said yes to gift aid or those who said no to gift aid, that actually developed a potential. So obviously legacy is its potential future income, but the potential future income estimated on that is over £600,000, which
wow.
is astonishing. So it just shows actually how, you know, working with you at Angel to get additional ideas and having this really collaborative approach and then being able to bring in other teams and collaborate with them and making it really a team. It is a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
We can make the most of the phone call for us as well as for our supporters and have the best, you know, lifetime value off the back of those phone calls. So it's absolutely brilliant. And as you know, Jack, we've obviously incorporated these legacy asks now into other campaigns that we're doing with you. So with our upgrade mm-hmm. campaign, which is continually rolling and asking those legacy prompts in there as well. So it's just, yeah, helped us continue to grow and really develop our telephone program overall.
Definitely. And open-minded collaboration has really opened a lot of doors because, you know, traditionally, if you like, you know, you might see that if we're doing a gift aid call, it's just going to be about gift aid. And over here, we've got upgrade, and over there, there's legacy, and everyone's got their own individual targets or donors are on specific journeys. But being able to kind of break that mold a little bit and have those conversations, you know, really openly, like you said, with the relationship that you've, you know, forged with the legacy team and others to, you know, well, actually, we've got this gift aid campaign going on, but these are RSPCA supporters who have been supporting for X many, you know, months or years, and actually now is the right time to have a conversation with them about legacy. And in our experience, you know, literally not a single call can we recount where someone, it was at the detriment of gift aid, we asked about legacy or vice versa. It was very much complimentary, you know, asking the two. But the income benefit of having both options, you know, we're now talking if you, you know, as you say, it's not confirmed income from a legacy perspective, but if you add up that kind of, you know, 450 from gift aid that is effectively banked, plus the potential 600,000, then that is the whole year of that animal centre fully funded, you know, and that brings you back around the full circle that the reason those supporters that we're speaking to supported in the first place was because of that. That's the work they want you to be doing. And through the power of that conversation and those phone calls and asking the right things at the right time, you could have funded that whole centre to run for a year, which that supporter would be absolutely delighted about, as would you and as would we. So, yeah, it just shows that collaboration, when done properly, that, you know, the huge impact that it can have on the charity and I suppose the sector.
It is incredible, isn't it? Because when you think about it, I think it's easy to get so, like, micro-focused on your objectives and your tasks and your day job, that it's easy to think, oh, these are my supporters and this is, you know, my project. But actually, you know, the supporters of any charity, they support the charity. RSPCA supporters support the RSPCA. They don't think, oh, I'm an RSPCA committee giver or I'm an RSPCA legacy or you know, whatever that relationship may be. They think of themselves as RSPCA supporters. So
yeah.
I think it's having that single supporter view as best you can and really working with other teams to see how we can make the most out of the activity we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are a charity, sorry. So so I think it's important to remember, isn't it? Every penny we spend matters.
Yes.
Because we're a charity, we're funded by our supporters, and that money goes to help animals. So if we're all fundraising separately, then and not working together, those costs potentially can go up. But by working together, we can make the most of every pound, which is always our goal, so that the maximum amount can go to the animals, to the cause, and really helping create a world that's kind of for every animal.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, is why supporters, like you said, that's what motivates them. If you speak to the donors on the ground, they would say, the reason I support the RSPCA is because I want the animals to be okay. You know, that in its simplest form is that sort of sentiment. And, you know, if you can join the dots, which I think one of the great things that you have with the phone as a channel, and also if you have fundraisers who understand how to join these dots, it makes such a difference in saying that, you know, gift aid isn't just a, you know, box ticking exercise and this complicated tax thing. Actually, it's a way that the RSPCA, through your support, can make sure the animals are okay. And it's, you know, it's hard to write that out, or if someone might discard that because it looks quite complicated, there's lots of text and it's just too much. Whereas literally 4 or 5 minutes, I think some of these conversations were, that you can join the dots of, you know, not complicated tax thing, you know, quite simple actually, you do qualify for it, and actually let's connect that dot with your support is now worth this, and this is the income, so the animals are now okay. You know, it's really sort of simplifying it to that level, because with, you know, in any sort of communication, I think simplifying it down to the simplest form of getting to the heart of why they actually support you, whether it's gift aid or legacy giving, that's what matters to that supporter. And the phone is just a great way of having the power of conversation to connect those dots, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess as a way of wrapping up our conversation, hopefully some useful tips for people who might be looking to take the same journey as, you know, as we did together, you know, those many years ago. You know, what would your advice be to a peer or another charity who, you know, whether it's gift aid calling or another type of calling, that wants to utilize this channel? You know, what should they look for in a, you know, partner agency and guiding tips that they might benefit from as they look forward to that part?
I think my key tip is being open. Being open to giving something different a try. Being really led by your data. And not being afraid to test and learn. It's working with partners who are willing to get stuck in with you and work with you as a collaboration. Who, you know, I think one of the nice things around working with Angel is as a client, I never feel like an inconvenience or a difficulty, or nothing's impossible. We can work together. You're happy to support if that support is required, you're there on hand, and that's so, I feel like it's almost priceless, because sometimes we need that support. And I think, you know, telephone marketing it's an art of its own. It's the constant yeses. It's going on that journey with a supporter, and it takes a very, I don't know, it's a very special relationship in a way. So it's finding an agency that you feel can deliver that for your supporters. One of the things that I personally love about Angel outside of how we work together is that you are based in Cornwall, you're a local business, you're employing people in Cornwall, which is, you know, predominantly, correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, but, you know, most of the jobs there are connected to tourism. So yes, you're a stable employer throughout the year. From a social sustainability perspective, you know, you're absolutely brilliant to partner with. You're also a pleasure to work with. So there's a lot of facets choosing to work with you. And I think from a gift aid perspective, you know, if you're a small charity and you can't work with an agency, then, you know, could you work together and all, could you have a calling day where all the staff, you know, come in and you make phone calls and you do it yourself? Or could you work with an agency to help you kind of workshop that and then figure out exactly what you need to say so that you can still do those calls? Or if you get to the point where you can't manage those calls yourself, it's reaching out and working with an agency who you can trust to make those calls and have those conversations with your supporters. And, you know, I do think it's also remembering, you know, I am not the target market when it comes to marketing. Just because you yourself might not like a phone call. I hate answering my phone. I'm sorry, Jack. I hate answering my phone. But I'm not the target market. And I think that's important to remember what's right for your market and what's right for your purpose. And something like Gift Aid, this is 100% worth pursuing, because you can have those conversations. So yeah, I feel like, I don't know, if whoever's listening, if you're going to take kind of anything away from today, it's kind of remembering from a Gift Aid perspective that in order to harness Gift Aid's full potential, it does require more than simply providing a declaration with an empty tick box. It demands kind of that insight and that innovation and that finding the best way to communicate with your supporters from that rational system two perspective for Gift Aid. And on the phone, it's a brilliant channel for that. So yeah, I hope it's inspirational. I'm super passionate about Gift Aid and absolutely a full convert. I love all things telemarketing now. And you're just a dream to work with, Jack. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you. No, that's a lovely way to end. And yeah, I guess before we do, it's to echo the same. I think a partnership only works when you've got collaboration going both ways. So it's you know, a real pleasure and privilege to work with you as well. And I think in doing so, we've been able to achieve, you know, huge success and a long way that continue. And as you say, I just hope that through having that conversation today and sharing some of those insights, that if it helps, you know, one person in the sector, even if they don't, you know, like you say, they're not the size to work with an agency, you know, anyone that can unlock incomes available to them that goes to a good cause is a, you know, I'd be glad to spend the hour or so having the conversation just to help, you know, to help with them. So I think that's a great way to wrap up. And thanks again for being so open and sharing those helpful insights. It's been a great conversation.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Phoebe.